All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just one thing off of the pregame real quick, because it's coming right out of the state of Florida with Ron DeSantis doing his press conference there. And somebody from Channel 7, WFL, whatever it may be, says to him, imagine opening up your question to the governor, the greatest governor in the history of the United States, Ron DeSantis, definitely the greatest governor now. And you open up your question with, sir, this is America. I mean, that's really arrogant approach, the governor of the third largest state, that you as some little pleb reporter are going to start off your question with, sir, this is America. Who are you? I will never get this, and I don't want to go on some sort of large, long social diatribe here, but the disrespect in this country is just out of hand. Absolutely out of hand. I mean, people do things now that I would never dream of doing, and they're not good. The way that people address other people, the lack of respect that people give other people, the lack of consideration. I mean, the driving alone, just on my way over here, I could spend the next hour on what I saw on my way over here. People just don't care. They just pull right out in front of us. I think they don't see. They see and just pull right out in front of people. There's nobody cares anymore. But anyway, so this is America, is how she starts off talking to Ron DeSantis. You know, this is a guy who served in the military, his distinguished military career, Harvard or Yale graduate, one of the two, Ivy League graduate, congressman, sitting governor of the state of Florida, accomplished a lot in his life. And you're going to start off your question with, sir, this is America. I added the sir part. But anyway, that's how she started off. And just she claims that ICE, because what there's been a joint jurisdictional task force over the last week in the state of Florida where they've deported 1,100 illegal aliens. So she decides that, of course, she's going to be the new Joseph Goebbels and just give gaslit propaganda. As a journalist, you're just going to lie for a living. So she says that ICE is deporting citizens. Believe me, Aaron, give me a believe me.
Believe me.
I'm telling you right now, I am all over social media. I haven't seen a one. I'm not just all over social media. I'm all over the left side of social media. I'm all over the right side of social media. Why is that? Because I have no life. So I'm checking and not one United States citizen, not one legal migrant has been deported by ICE. Not one. Not the kids that we covered last night, the three kids that the moms took them with her. Not anybody. Otherwise, believe me, it would be all over social media. Look what Trump has done. He deported Aaron Yeager by mistake. It would be all over, everywhere. Not once. He just makes this up. You're like, how could somebody live? I don't know. That's part of what I'm talking about with the social cues, the social abilities of people, the social etiquette of people is just gone now. You can just live as a pathological liar. Like this woman. I mean, where does she get this from? That these people have presented driver's licenses and birth certificates and passports and are deported anyway? Well, like which one? Who's the person? And imagine having a media that doesn't report on itself. You should have a media. This should be headline news tonight. Reporter just makes things up when questioning Ron DeSantis. These people had driver's licenses and passports and birth certificates, and ICE didn't care. It was Bill Williams from Orlando, Florida. Born and raised in Orlando, Florida, he was deported after presenting that he had a Florida driver's license. His name's Bill. He's not Hispanic. He's not Asian. He's not Russian. He's American. And he's deported. That's what she's claiming is happening. Not once has that happened. Not one thing. You have the vast generalities. That's one thing. And then you have the very specific bold-faced lies, both of which are the agenda. Are basically how the left now operates. Those are their tactics, just vast generalities. Trump is attacking our democracy. Tell me how. Specifically, tell me how. Trump is attacking Social Security. How's he attacking Social Security? I just want the specifics. Give me the specifics. How's he Italian? Not one social security check has been late. Nobody's had a social security cut. Not one. There's been no social security cut. He doesn't plan on doing it. His big, new, beautiful bill has no social security cuts, no Medicaid cuts, no Medicare cuts. And by the way, it should. It should, but it doesn't. So people just flat out lie. He's attacking our social security. Give me exactly how. Who's been attacked? What amount of money has been cut? You ever notice they never give any of that? It just Donald Trump and Elon Musk are attacking Social Security. Doge is attacking. So how? Where? What? I mean, give me the specifics. So just bold faced lies again from the leftist media. All right. So let's get into this. So let me say it to everybody in the chat real quick. Granite 2468 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Nude Monk is on. Milwaukee James is on. Stefan is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Robin Aroni is on. Wade Away is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Peg McGroin is on. P-Sus is on. Mike Griffith is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Bill F1 is on. Skunk 71 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Veronica 1201 is on. Rafa 9821, the one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Milwaukee James is on. Sheila K is on. K4 VMS is on. Volvo 960 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Conservative Waffles on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Keeper 1376 is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Judy Anita is on. Joe Heathen is on. Goosey 600 is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Jim Brody is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right through this now. Title of the podcast is wrapped around Signalgate. Trump basically eradicating Signalgate. So what's going on here? Now, we all thought this was, you know, gone. This is all in the past. Well, it's not. There's obviously something going on with Mike Waltz. Something is going on. And his assistant, is it Chong? I don't remember whether it's Chong or Wong.
I think it's Wong.
Is it Wong? I think it's Chong. Because I think I had Wong and then you changed it to Chong. But I don't remember. But just look it up. Waltz assistance. Just so I get it. It actually has it in the story. We don't really need it. But anyway. So we thought this whole thing was resolved. But it's not. Now Waltz and his...
Wong.
Wong. It is Wong. Yeah. Okay. So Wong. So
Alex Wong.
Alex Wong. So Waltz... Double W's. That's how I need to remember it for now. Double W's. So Mike Waltz and Alex Wong are both out. Mike Waltz has been offered the ambassador to the UN. That's a great job. Instead of national security advisor to the NSA. Which, by the way, let me just get this out before I forget. The NSA needs to be Mike Flynn. I mean, is there any question about that? The national security advisor needs to be General Mike Flynn, unless he turns it down, which he might, which I've kind of heard. He really doesn't want to work in the government anymore. But I'm just saying, that's just from Alex Jones. I haven't heard that from Mike Flynn himself. But anyway... Not that I talk to him, but I just from listening to Alex Jones, he does talk to him all the time. But anyway, it needs to be Mike Flynn. If at all possible, that's who needs to be the new NSA. Mike Flynn can be trusted. If there's anybody that can be trusted, it was never Mike Waltz and Alex Wong. That never should happen. Alex Wong used to be Tom Cotton's chief assistant. Okay, and of course, Tom Cotton wants Mike Waltz's job. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll see me go through a roof if he offers this to Tom Cotton. That should not happen. But anyway, Mario Nafal video, Mike Waltz is out. Is Signalgate to blame? Of course it is. Play for me.
All right, there's a breaking news that happened in the commercial break. So you're looking at a photographs right now of Michael Waltz. He is the president's national security advisor, except for we just got news that he is going to be leaving the administration along with his deputy, Alex Wong. Of course, if you might remember the story of Signalgate. I don't know if that's for a particular reason, but there was some consternation among some people about Mike Waltz, who you might remember was a congressman, Green Beret, a long history and career in foreign policy. And I believe...
And we just need to remember, because Aaron just reminded me of this. So it was... Mike Waltz that had Jeffrey Goldberg's phone number. Remember, that was the whole, this stuff all goes by so fast, and there's the next story after the next story after the next story. Last night covering like the Reagan National crash with the helicopter and the passenger liner. I mean, which is basically, I mean, it was a kamikaze run. I mean, let's just all be honest. There's no way that happens. That's all coming out. And they need to go ahead and release everything. I mean, why is that? I don't mean to be shifting subjects all the time, but it just pops into my head. That all needs to be released. All the black box data, all the communications between the tower. Listen, all the communications available to us. Communications from the Black Hawk to the tower, tower to the Black Hawk, and all the internal communications inside of the Black Hawk where the chief warrant officer screaming at the pilot. Screaming at her. Divert your course. For 15 seconds. Screaming at her. She doesn't do a freaking thing. You're telling me that's not a kamikaze run? What is she doing? And she's a Biden acolyte, a DEI hire in the Biden White House, standing right next to Alex Soros. I think she just went off her rocker and said, you know what, I'm going to show them. You're going to like Donald Trump. Watch this. But anyway, so let's go back to Mike Waltz. So anyway, him and Alex Chong are both gone. Remember, he's chief of the staff for these people. Alex Wong was both for Tom Cotton and Mike Waltz, and Alex Wong is gone too. They're both gone. That's not a coincidence, because Alex Wong is who orchestrated the call using Mike Waltz's phone. And Mike Waltz was the one who had Jeffrey Goldberg as a contact, because there's no way to add anybody to any group unless the person is a contact, unless you call them and ask them to be a contact or, you know, make them a contact. It had to happen. There's no way that this happened accidentally. It cannot happen accidentally. And the only way it could possibly happen accidentally is but Jeffrey Goldberg would still receive an invite. Of course, Jeffrey Goldberg's going to take it.
Yeah.
But you had to have already had him on as a contact. Then Mike Waltz says he's never met Jeffrey Goldberg. Then we have pictures of him with Jeffrey Goldberg. I mean, again, what's going on, Mike Waltz? Maybe he's completely innocent. I don't know. But what are the odds of being completely innocent when you say you've never met Jeffrey Goldberg? He's a contact on your phone, and we have pictures with you and Jeffrey Goldberg together. And you're attending Jeffrey Goldberg's event. These people must forget that everything you do is videoed now. So here's the official statement from Donald Trump on Truth Social. I am pleased to announce this is just political coverage for Donald Trump. He's doing what he has to do. Basically, he's removing Mike Waltz's NSA and putting him as the ambassador to the United Nations. It's the nice way to put it. Nominating Mike Waltz to be the next United Nations ambassador, ambassador to the United Nations from his time in uniform on the battlefield in Congress. And as my national security advisor for 4 months, Mike Waltz has worked hard to put our nation's interests first. I know he will do the same in his new role. In the interim, Secretary of State Marco Rubio will serve as national security advisor while continuing to do his strong leadership at the State Department. Together, we will continue to fight tirelessly to make America and the world safe again. There we go. So anyway, he's out. You knew heads were going to roll. It may not be the last head, but really the two people that orchestrated the call, it's him and Alex Wong. They orchestrated the call somehow or another. I don't know, just for the record, that Alex Wong used Mike Waltz's phone, but he is his administrative assistant. I mean, he's basically his like deputy. He's the deputy NSA.
Yeah.
So second in command of being national security advisor. So did he access Waltz? So it's either Waltz or Wong. That's it. That orchestrated the call. There's no way around it. And why in the world would you ever invite Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, the one who made up the suckers and losers hoax? Why would you ever invite him onto a call with Pete Hegseth? Hegseth didn't do it. They went to crucify Hegseth, and I don't mean to get too deep in this, but I just can't help it. It's just almost too delicious. Then they go and they try to crucify as if it's on purpose, because, by the way, it is. There are no, like Bannon always says, there's no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. So you have Alex Wong, who used to be Tom Cotton's chief of staff. And Tom Cotton wants Hegseth's job. So Hegseth's call gets sabotaged by Wong or his boss or both. And Cotton wants that job. Cotton wants that job so that he can backdoor and sabotage Donald Trump for the Globalists, because that's who Tom Cotton is. Married to a radical leftist. Watch all of these guys, Paul Ryan, Tommy Cotton, all these guys married to radical leftists. Watch them. Because could you live with a radical leftist? Could you? I mean, if you couldn't live with a radical leftist, then wouldn't you almost have to be a leftist to live with a leftist? You're like, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm married to one now. Oh, there's nothing you can do about it now. I'm just saying, would you marry one if you knew radical leftist Kamala voter? So in other words, you're either in that house, you're either fighting every day, or you are, in fact, the same one way or the other. Let me show you this. Just jumping off topic now, off of Signalgate. Peter St. Ange, this is where we are, right? All right, Peter St. Ange video. Chinese factories are getting wiped out. Just so you know, the media is reporting. The word, of course, is the five-letter word, chaos. It's all chaos. Is it really chaos? By Donald Trump? Has anybody felt like it's chaos? I haven't felt any chaos. I saw the gas a couple days ago in Florida, $2.98. I haven't felt any chaos. My grocery bill has not gone up. My grocery bill has gone slightly down. My bills have not gone up at all. So I don't feel any chaos. There's lots of jobs around here. Record employment by Donald Trump in his first 100 days. Inflation is basically at zero. So where is all of this chaos? Well, they claim that there's chaos, and that, of course, is just gaslit propaganda. Yeah, but what's the backing of it, Tom? There must be some sort of statistical data behind the chaos. No, they just throw it out. Again, vast generalities are just bold-faced lies. That's how the Democrats operate. Vast generalities that are never defined. Donald Trump is attacking Social Security, he's attacking democracy. Tell us how. Give us examples of how Donald Trump has attacked democracy. Give me a list. Give me a list of how he's attacked Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He can't. So let's look at the flip side, though. Let's go to China. Give me China, Aaron.
China.
Let's go to China. And let's see what's really happening, because they say that there's chaos here. There's no chaos here. And they almost take the side. They don't almost take the side. Let's just go ahead and say it, because many of them in Washington and in the media receive vast, vast sums of money from the CCP and from the PLA. So let's really look at the repercussions of what Trump's doing with our number one geopolitical adversary, of which is the only one who has any tariffs levied on them so far. Because they claim all this chaos. How can there be any chaos when the tariffs aren't even in place? That everybody, for all intents and purposes, with the exception of China, got a 90-day moratorium to negotiate. Even Mark Carney's going to come and negotiate. It won't be long. Mark Carney's talking big. But he's been a pansy boy his entire life. He's been a cuck boy his whole life. He's going to go to Trump eventually and very quickly to negotiate out of Tampa. But anyway, so they say chaos, 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 but none of us sees any chaos. So Trump is trying to bring China to heel for trade deficits, for their stealing of intellectual property, IP property, IP, for the manipulation of currency. He's trying to bring them to heel. So there's actually fair trading, because what they're doing is China's, through their unfair trade practices, are basically globally financially taking over the world. They own the Panama Canal until Trump came in. And by the way, you know, they just had Trump just sign the minerals deal with Ukraine. And I just wonder, as a Democrat, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? Donald Trump in 100 days, and I know it's like 102 now, but it doesn't matter. He signed the mineral deal yesterday, so 101, whatever it is. So Donald Trump signs a mineral deal with Ukraine, basically paying us back for all the money that we have spent there over a period of time, giving us vast, vast rights to their rare earths. So Donald Trump does that in 101 days. The border is completely closed, and we have no illegal immigration. Can you imagine being able to say that? We have no illegal immigration coming into the country. 99.9% closed. How do you look at yourself in the mirror as a Democrat or as a globalist rhino like James Cuckboy Langford or Mitt Romney and say, after you have espoused for years, we need a comprehensive border bill. We need comprehensive border reform. We need a bipartisan border bill. How do you look at yourself in the mirror as a Republican like Mitt Romney or James Cuckboy Langford and say, you know what, that's what we needed? When Donald Trump proves you wrong, you never come out and admit you're wrong. I mean, that really kind of always astounds me. But anyway, and then as a Democrat, Donald Trump basically gets us paid back from the Ukraine all in 101 days. And you do nothing. Joe Biden does nothing for 3 years. Absolutely nothing. Why 5,000 people a week are being killed in Ukraine. Imagine that. And then you're still going to be a Democrat, and you're still going to advocate for Democratic policies that do nothing but fail and are nothing but waste, fraud, and abuse. So what's actually happening in China as a result of the actual Trump tariffs that's been levied against them of 145%. Play for me, Will.
Chinese factories are getting wiped out in the trade war, with one analyst calling it, quote, way bigger than COVID-19. COVID-19 meaning the near 20% drop in Chinese manufacturing back when the world shut down. Last week, I mentioned the extraordinary measures China is using to cover up the devastation from Trump's tariffs. These include forcing nearly a million state-owned firms to buy their own stocks, threatening regular people who sell stocks, and forcing Chinese banks to buy the Chinese currency while dumping over $1 trillion in government stimulus for bridges to nowhere and cities in nowhere. Container tracker Vizion reports containers from China are down by half. Factories are furloughing half their employees or even stopping production altogether. Thousands of small Chinese manufacturers are already on the verge of bankruptcy, according to CNBC. Now, in the old days, China just routed exports through a nearby country like Vietnam. But given Trump is going after those diversions, Chinese firms are considering moving the whole operation to a country like Vietnam, India, or Mexico. In other words, keep the customers, but ditch the Chinese factory. Now, the context here is between 10 and 20 million Chinese workers work for export to the U.S. So if these temporary furloughs turn into permanent job losses, China will get civil unrest, starting with politically sensitive cities like Shanghai or Beijing itself. Meanwhile, tariffs are already showing up in online prices, with price hikes on Amazon of 25% plus for Chinese goods. Now, that's a lot lower than 145% tariffs, because tariffs go on the price at the port, which is typically half or a quarter of the price at the store. There's markups along the way that are not tariff. So 145 becomes 25. Still, even 25 is a big difference from Trump's last trade war with China in 2018, when essentially zero of the tariffs were passed on. Now, back then, it was because Beijing was literally compensating companies for the tariffs, meaning the Chinese government was paying our taxes, which is fun. Alas, 145% is too much for Beijing to handle, so companies are passing it on. The biggest change has been in websites like Shine or Temu, which sell dirt cheap t-shirts and hair ties from over 3,000 suppliers in China that are being tariffed for the very first time. Background here is something like 50 to 100 billion in small dollar Chinese imports that have been completely tariff-free for decades under something called the de minimis exemption, which says small international shipments get zero scrutiny. It's like mailing a letter. Now, in the case of China, that goes up to $800 that is completely exempt. Trump just closed that loophole, meaning once they sell off inventory, it is the end of the $5 Chinese t-shirt. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. The 2018 tariffs were small enough that they didn't do much to prices and they didn't do much to China. These tariffs are a nuclear weapon. No company can survive 145% tariff for long, and Beijing apparently cannot cover the tab. China is putting a brave face, but it cannot handle a tariff war that's bigger than COVID and goes on for 4 years. Meanwhile, reindustrializing America will take many years, while Trump's got roughly 16 months until the midterm elections. Both sides want a deal. It's a game of chicken who breaks first. Okay, we'll be...
All right, so there you go. This is basically what's going on there. Half, I mean, get the stats here. About half of their employees at factories are being furloughed. That's, folks, you hear that? This is Donald Trump in basically a month, because that's about how long these tariffs have been put on China. Half of their shipping containers are empty. You see, the problem with being a totalitarian, authoritarian regime is that if people start to starve, they don't have anything to do but revolt against you. And Xi Jinping knows that. He knows that if all of these people lose their jobs, whether it's Shanghai, whether it's Beijing and these temperamental cities, not to mention Hong Kong, these people start to lose their jobs, they go violent. They go Tiananmen Square. Not that they went violent, the government did. But anyway, they know that. So it's a ticking time bomb. Trump doesn't have that. And by the way, we are the buyer. The problem is that we are in the position of power. That's why Donald Trump always says that term, we have all the cards. We have all the cards. So we're the buyer. They're the seller. They're in the vulnerable position. If we don't buy, we don't go down. We have other areas. We have other countries to buy from. And a lot of what we buy is, as everybody says, cheap Chinese crap. Now, the problem is that we have leveraged our own economy into their hands. Why have we done that? I don't want to get into a long, deep economic discussion. But once again, what's our country all about? Creating NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats to enrich Democrats. We have traded away, because it has benefited Democratic Party NGOs, all of our manufacturing, and I know all is hyperbolic, to China and other countries. So we basically make nothing. We don't make aspirin here. They make it in China. We found out during COVID-19, even though it was all a waste of time, nobody needed to wear it, that all the PPE equipment came from China. Everything comes from China. So a lot of our manufacturing has been leveraged over to China to benefit Democratic Party politicians and Rhino Republican politicians, but not you and I. So that's the only problem that we have. But now with like NVIDIA and all these other companies that are going to build technology and chip factories here, we aren't going to need China for much longer. China has to move now. We could all actually survive. Economically, fine. We could pivot and survive because, again, we're the buyer. We're not depending on selling to China for everybody to have jobs. They are depending on selling to America to have jobs. We have way more leverage. And what Trump's trying to do is say, you know what? You sell 70% more to us than we buy from you. I mean, then you sell 70% more to us than we sell to you. I want to be able to access your 1.4 billion people for Chevrolet. They're not allowed to do it. You can't buy a Chevrolet in China, but you can buy every Chinese product. And then you remove the de minimis exemption, which is all cheap Chinese crap. They used to get an exemption up to what do you say, $700, something like that.
I think it was
that's gone. Was it?
$800.
Yep. So that's all gone now.
Yep.
No exception. So that's a huge part of their economy is cheap Chinese crap that you and I see all the time. I wonder where that piece of crap was made. Oh, China. That's gone now. And see that, I mean, you're talking about hundreds. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands. So this country, 1.4 billion, but you're talking about millions of jobs at stake. We don't have millions of jobs at stake with this. They do. They have to move now. Trump knows all this. And while the Democrats sit back here, chaos in America. Where's the chaos? The chaos is occurring to the people that Donald Trump is trying to defeat, which means he's winning, but it's not being reported. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? The White House. All right, there we go. The White House video. All right, here it is. Angel parents tell their story at the White House. We thank the Trump administration. Moving on to Trump border now. Trump border. We are on Trump. We were on Trump econ. Now we're on Trump border. Angel parents tell their story at the White House. We thank the Trump administration from the bottom of hearts. Without them, there would be no justice for our kids. Play for me.
My name's Angie Morphine Vargas, and I'm mother to Ruben Morphine. He was executed in the streets of Salinas in 1990. 34 years later, I could still cry for him like if it was yesterday.
My name is Maria Herrera Vega, and I'm the mother of Marine and Border Patrol Agent Javier Vega Jr. Our son, who went by Harvey, was murdered August the 3rd, 2014.
My name is Chris Odent. I'm an angel father. My daughter, Krisha, was killed September 12th, 2014 by an illegal alien in Rockwall, Texas.
This is my son, Ryan, and his girlfriend, both poisoned to death by illicit fentanyl. I can't bring my son back, but we are doing all of this to save the future Americans from being poisoned to death by fentanyl.
My name is Agnes Gibney. This is my son, Ronald Da Silva, who was murdered by a previously deported criminal illegal alien gang member.
My name is Angel Ma Miriam Mendoza. This is my son, Sergeant Brandon Mendoza, of the Mesa, Arizona Police Department, who was killed on May 12, 2014 by a repeat illegal criminal. Thank everybody in this administration for finally paying attention to criminals who harm Americans.
We thank the Trump administration from the bottom of our hearts.
Without them, there would be no justice for my daughter.
We're finally getting some justice in this country for our children.
This right here is what should be living here in America, not criminals that are coming in right now.
So let's just go over this. Here is how CNN, I don't know for sure if those people are standing necessarily in front of the perpetrator of the crime, the person who actually murdered their kids or not, but because they don't say, I'm assuming some of them are, but remember from last night, that's how the American people feel about those photos on the yard. That's how the victims of criminal, illegal immigrants feel about those photographs being on the White House lawn. But how does CNN feel about it? Play it for me.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country illegally, each poster saying, arrested, and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities and if there are actual allegations against these people. Until then, we are blurring their identities.
Again, I won't get into this because I did it last night. I won't get into it for more than a couple seconds. But again, I thought we're supposed to trust the government. So you only trust the government when it's the Biden administration, but not the Trump's administration. And if I don't trust the government under the Biden administration, I'm an insurrectionist or a seditious conspiratorialist, right? Or I'm a threat to democracy. But you, because it's a Republican administration, are allowed to question the government. Because the government put out those, yeah, Aaron, put those up. The government put out those signs, right? That's the government. That's from the DOJ. You're supposed to trust them now. Absolute trust. Absolute trust with absolutely no questioning. Absolute trust. That's what they tell you. But they, of course, won't do it. And CNN says that these photographs have to be blurred by them until they are able to determine whether or not these people committed the crimes that are on the board with them. They're able to confirm the identity of the crimes these people committed. But the American people who were victimized by these people are at the lawn thanking the Trump administration for what they're doing, actually getting rid of these people so that there aren't more American victims. I just want everybody, I would love that if Jake Tapper would extract his head out of his anus for 2 seconds and think, this is actually part of my sermon on Sunday. Think logically for just a moment. I'll give you a little tease from a sermon on Sunday morning. I'm not going to preach, but here, just real quick. One of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to church people are people who get mad at the pastor because I ask them to step out of the sanctuary when their kid's screaming. They're mad about that, right? They get mad. I'm offended. My kid's talking. I have all these people looking around. In our sanctuary, it's 850-something seats, so 700 people there on a Sunday, about 900 to 1,000 people in the building. And you're sitting there, and there's a kid like screaming or talking, and usually I don't even say anything to him. One of my staff goes up to him and says, "Can we usher you to the nursery? Bring you to the nursery? Super nice, whatever." And they're offended. Okay, now do you think about that logically? Well, how about if I follow you to the movie theater, and I go there, me and Aaron follow you to the movie theater. I'll take all three amigos, me, Aaron, and Will. We follow you to the movie theater, and while you're watching the movie, we just talk the whole time. Would you like that? How about if we go to your gender reveal party and we stream out the gender before the reveal? Oh, okay, you wouldn't like that, right? So you don't like intrusive communication. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But you get offended when we ask you to stop intrusively communicating. You're supposed to understand it's just a kid. No, you're supposed to have a brain in your head. And you know your kid's being disruptive to walk them out. And the same thing with Jake Tapper. What if it was you, you idiot? What if it was you whose wife was raped and murdered, daughter was raped and murdered, son was murdered, whatever it would be, you don't even apply it to yourself? You're like, oh, just let everybody in. Just like people with the crying kid. Just let it happen. Kumbaya until it happens to you. And then lo and behold, you would jump onto our side. Just like if you actually watched an abortion, Jake Tapper or any other leftist that stumbled onto this show, if you actually watched an abortion, you would suddenly be pro-life. As you watch that child grab the needle trying to suck it out of the womb and scream and cry, a soundless cry because of the amniotic fluid. He's just amazed. I will never understand how people don't apply things to themselves before they come up with an opinion. I have lots of faults and failings, but that is one thing I always do. Before I form an opinion, I apply it to myself. What if that was me? All right, there you go. That was the preacher for the night. All right, where the heck am I, Will? Fox News?
Fox News.
Fox News video. Deputy ICE Director Madison Sheehan details the unprecedented cooperation between federal and local law enforcement right here in the state of Florida. That's what Ron DeSantis was talking about in the pregame, as they fulfill President Trump's promise to keep illegal immigrants off American streets. Play for me.
The illegal immigrants were arrested in Florida in a single week during this Operation Tidal Wave, which ICE is calling the first of its kind, that paired federal agencies alongside local law enforcement. Now, ICE says that it is the most arrests that they have done in one state in a single week, and that everyone will receive due process. Several gang members were in this group, and listen to the agency's response to this question.
We've certainly seen some stories where mothers who have either overstayed visas or have shown up for a regular appointment and they have a deportation order and with no criminal history, so that person along with their child is deported.
If you are in this country illegally, you are a criminal. We have zero tolerance for criminal aliens in this country. As far as a conversation about children, I think the real conversation we should be having is about the 500,000 children that the Biden administration allowed to come unaccompanied across the border that President Trump has made a priority to get them back home with their families.
Just imagine being a reporter who asked that question. So you have mothers who have overstayed their visas being deported. Aaron, what does overstaying mean?
Overstaying.
Okay, so you overstayed. So you are breaking the law and overstayed your visa. And these mothers, it doesn't matter whether you're a mother. It doesn't matter whether you're a father. It doesn't matter whether you're the Pope. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher. It doesn't matter at all. You've overstayed your visa. It doesn't matter whether you're a sinner or a saint. You've overstayed your visa, which makes you qualified to be deported. As simple as that. There's nothing to discuss here. Are all of these illegals who you are deporting going to receive due process? Yes, their due process is deportation. That's their due process. You are illegally here. Your due process is to be deported. I don't know. I mean, imagine. And again, the only reason why that reporter is even asking that is the exact same reason why what Stephen Miller illustrated in the pregame. He says, if I offered any of you in this room, talking about the leftist reporters, bourgeois elitists making millions of dollars a year, somehow making millions of dollars a year on TV stations, you know, on platforms like CNN, whatever it is, whatever you call them now, channels, TV channels. Nobody ever, I don't even watch TV anymore. TV channels. And they somehow make millions of dollars a year. Like Rachel Maddow makes $25 million a year. She had to take a $10 million pay cut. And nobody watches her show and she only does one show a week. Where does all that money come from? Big pharma and NGOs. That's what it comes from. I'm just telling you. That's what you and I pay that for that. You and I pay for that. You and I pay Rachel Maddow through various channels, her salary. I guarantee you that's how it is. But you wonder how these people form these opinions because it doesn't apply to them. They live in their ivory towers behind walls and guns that they don't want you to have. They will never relinquish their walls and guns. They're always given the opportunity. Lead the way, lead the way. Relinquish your walls and guns. Lead the way. Take in an illegal immigrant. If every Democrat were to house an illegal immigrant, I would believe them. I still wouldn't change my opinion. But at least I would say publicly, you know what? At least they live what they believe, baby. But they don't ever bring in an illegal. They don't ever do it. They always want to be taxed more. They're always talking about tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. Then why doesn't Warren Buffett give more money? He's a Democrat for all intents and purposes. Why doesn't he just give more money? He can. Mittens Romney can give more money anytime he wants. Alex Soros can give all the money he wants to give, but they never actually do it because they don't ever believe what they say. They want all of these authoritative inflictions, these authoritarian inflictions to be inflicted on you, but not themselves. So they're sitting there going, you know what? These mothers who have overstayed, I don't care whether they're mothers. I don't care whether they're daughters, sons, fathers. I don't care what they are. They've overstayed their visa on purpose. And they're coming to meet regularly. They're not coming to meet regularly because if they're meeting regularly with ICE or DHS, then they wouldn't have overstayed their visa. They would have re-upped their visa or returned to their country. I have Canadian friends, three of them. They actually have to go back. I just hired one at church here. They have to go back to Canada regularly. Basically go back to Canada and then re-immigrate into the United States regularly. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, why don't they just fly down to Guadalajara and just come through the southern border? Nobody cares then. But I'm just like, so they have to go and re-immigrate into America. They have to requal every time, requalify every time to come back in. I'm talking about basic economic equivalency of a full rectal exam to get back in. I mean, they have to do, but Democrats who would never live next to this woman, this mother who's over, or Maryland dad, Gilmar Abrego Garcia, this Maryland dad, they would never live next to Abrego Garcia. They would never do that. They would never stain themselves with his presence. But of course, they want him around for everybody else to risk their lives to live next to. Amazing. All right, where am I at? In wokeness?
Yes, sir.
All right, in wokeness video. Breaking illegal migrant. Yeah, here we go again, Aaron. Here we go again, Will. Kills the Texas dad. Look at the date on the bottom, 4/27/25. It's not 5 years ago. This is what is today? Today is May 1st. So yeah. This is what, 4 days ago? Something like that. All right, play for me.
Wearing a gym tank and wasting no time when the door opened. Surveillance video appears to capture 36-year-old Andres Fernandez de la Paz shooting once. Screams followed. He tried to kick the door back open, then ran off to leave in his purple Maserati. The bullet hit 34-year-old Edieski Incencio Pinero in the chest, a father and husband who died at the hospital after being shot in front of his own family. His wife calls him a wonderful person. She doesn't have any bad memories of him and says he was a good father and friend. It's a difficult situation, she says. Fernandez de la Paz is her ex-brother-in-law, who, according to court records, threatened to kill the family and flee to Mexico. He allegedly shot two men and killed one of them in the past, but records show prosecutors dismissed that murder case in 2017, citing self-defense issues. And since 2022, a law enforcement source tells KPRC 2 News, Fernandez de la Paz has been leading a credit card skimming operation across Texas. Arrested in 2023, Sour Lake, Texas police confirm they caught him with skimming devices during a traffic stop after he placed one at a gas pump. Days later, sources say the FBI took over the investigation, but no federal charges got filed. Then last fall, captured in this surveillance image at a retail chain, a source says he was caught using stolen credit card information to buy high-dollar items through the store's app, landing him in the Fort Bend County Jail. He got released both times when records show Fernandez de la Paz had an ICE detainer. He's been in the country illegally since 2016, was ordered removed in 2019, and ICE tells KPRC 2 News in a statement, the Cuban government refused to accept his return at that time, preventing ICE from carrying out his...
Now, if I laugh, believe me, it's not in disrespect to the slain. It's not at all. But I'm just like, this guy's been in the country for all of these years, and he's nothing but an habitual criminal, and he never got deported. And then people are like, well, you know what? Cuba wouldn't take him. I don't care whether Cuba would take him or not. Where did he cross? Send him right back to where he crossed. If Mexico and through the cartels want to facilitate illegals across our southern border, then they can, because the government in Mexico is in partnership with the cartels. They're in collaboration with the cartels. So in my humble opinion, and again, with Hussein Obama deported 3 million people during his 8 years, actually 5 million people under his 8 years, and Trump's policies keep Big Mike up at night. But anyway, so he deports all of these people. I'm getting confused now with she and he with Big Mike. But anyway, so Barack Hussein Obama deports 5 million people. Where were the cries about the due process then? What due process? I mean, imagine that. In 8 years, and George W. Bush, or no, Herbert Walker Bush was 10 million that he deported. Credit to him. Where was all the cries for due process then? I mean, because if you were to give every one of those 5 million people that Hussein Obama deported the due process the Democrats are now calling for, he would have deported 23 people instead of 5 million. They don't get due process. You're an illegal. So this guy has been, look at this, released from jail September 23, 2023, November 2024, in the U.S. illegally since 2016, ordered removed 6 years ago. And if he was removed then, and by the way, he was ordered to get this, Aaron, get this, Will, from 2019 all the way to now, 6 years ago, he's running skimmer scams. He's out there hooking up skimmers onto gas pumps and numerous other fraudulent schemes. And he gets caught doing it. And by the way, the FBI has had interactions with him before because he was caught for murder before, and he was caught for fraud before. And in the fraud case, the FBI, under Biden administration, released him, just like they did Gilmar Abrego Garcia, who was caught human trafficking in the state of Tennessee. And by the way, the Tennessee State Patrol is refusing to release that video footage. Why? I mean, it's the same thing that happened with the Nashville shooter. The Nashville shooter's dossier has yet to be, I mean, I think it was released to Crowder, but I'm not going to say illegally released, but it was released in a covert way to Crowder in a non-approved way. So I don't know if it's ever even been official. I think it's been now officially released. But anyway, that was years after it happened. But anyway, the Tennessee State Police pulled over Kilmar Abrego Garcia, caught him human trafficking, and the FBI got the case and then dropped it immediately. And the same thing happened with him, with him when he got Andres Fernandez. Here we go again with the five freaking word names. Andres Fernandez de la Paz, or as we're supposed to say it, Andres Fernandez de la Paz. But anyway, so he gets caught by the FBI, gets the case turned over to him. Same thing happened with the election fraud in the state of Michigan with Dana Nassel and Gretchen Whitless. Gretchen Whitless. They had mass voter fraud. It's turned over to the FBI, and the FBI did nothing with it. Weird, isn't it? And that's when Bill Barr said, did not do any investigations with election fraud. Then Bill Barr said, none of his investigations have shown that there was widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election that could have cost Donald Trump the presidency when he conducted no investigations. So he says, none of the investigations that he conducted, of which he did none, showed that information. So this guy, if he would have been removed as he should have been, like Kilmar Abrego Garcia, had a final order of removal the same year, by the way, and he wouldn't have beat his wife after that then. If this guy was removed, this true Texas dad would still be alive right now. Great job, Biden administration. Final order of removal was in 2019, which, by the way, is even into the Trump administration. So they should have removed him in 2019 under the Trump administration. But then he sat in here for 4 years under the Biden administration. They did absolutely nothing, which, by the way, right there is many years under the Trump administration, too. And he should have been removed. Now, if Trump had the mindset he had now, he would have been removed. It wouldn't matter what mindset. Joe Biden would never have a mindset to remove these illegal immigrants. All right, let's go to the next one. Speaking of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, this is part of an article. It's not just a graphic put up on Twitter. Seeking protection, alleged gangbanger Kilmar Abrego Garcia bragged he could kill his wife and get away with it, she claimed. Boy, this whole thing is just absolutely tanking for the Democrats. Sending all those Democrats down to El Salvador to bring back Kilmar Abrego Garcia, and all these reports keep popping up. This is new. All right, so here it is from the New York Post. Alleged MS-13 member Kilmar Abrego Garcia once boasted he could kill his wife and no one could do anything to him, according to a request for a motion for a protective order she filed in 2020. I also have a recording that he told my ex-mother-in-law that even if he kills me, no one can do anything to him. Jennifer Vasquez Sura wrote in the document she filed with the District Court of Maryland, the Maryland dad, for Prince George's County in August 3rd, 2020. The newly surfaced document preceded a 2021 protective order request she filed against her husband, and now is crying to get him back. In that document, she alleged he had punched, scratched, and grabbed her with some of the alleged abuse so severe she was left with bruises and bleeding, and this is who the Democrats want to import back in the United States after he's been deported. But I've covered that ad nauseum, but just more and more information comes out, making Democrats look more and more ridiculous by the moment. All right, so let's go here. Now, this is the fun part of the show. You can tell where we're going to go, side by side that, Aaron, if you can. So now you can tell where we're going to go for the next three videos. So Kamala has made her first public address since being destroyed in the 2024 election. So for anybody, not, of course, the people that are watching this had no doubt who to pick and who to vote for. But for those who had any questions about, you know what, was Donald Trump the right choice? Kamala Harris has now removed all doubt that Donald Trump was the right choice by her latest appearance. Now, let's run these three in a row, guys. Actually, run the first two in a row. Let's run Gunther. First one's Gunther Engelman video. Second one is an Alex video. We'll run them right in a row. Gunther Engelman title says, I'm so darn happy. He didn't write that, but I'm filtering it. This lady lost in November. She would be speechless if she didn't have a teleprompter. Here she is opening up her speech. Play it for me.
Everyone, hi everyone, hi. Oh, it's good to be home.
Have a seat. But sadly, we have seen quite the opposite over these past few months. Now, I know tonight's event happens to coincide with the 100 days after the inauguration, and I'll leave it to others to give a full accounting of what has happened so far. But I will say this. Instead of an administration working to advance America's highest ideals, we are witnessing the wholesale abandonment of those ideals.
Again, name the ideals. Full-scale abandonment of the ideals of America. What are those ideals? So here she is. I mean, if you look at, what is this? She is the embodiment of a full-body dry heave. I mean, seriously, look, what is going on here? Watch her. I mean, look at this. What is this? I mean, what is this? Who acts like this? Seriously, who acts like that? It's you get to the place, and that's where she goes. And Dougie's here. Look at her. What is this? I mean, she literally looks like Mark Carney in that dance last night that we showed you.
Oh,
I mean, what exactly are these moves that she's? I mean, I'm serious. It really is so orchestrated. I don't think that they can remember. They've been orchestrated so long. Every single move of their life has been planned out and orchestrated for so long. They don't know how to behave naturally anymore. So you just go up there and you do this. I mean, what is this? See what I mean? Who? What is that?
It's like Tim Walz.
I mean, that's right. Jazz hands Timmy, tampon Timmy. I mean, it's literally like watching a seizure. I mean, I don't know what she. I mean, it gets to the place where honestly, these people have been so orchestrated there for so long. Everything has been planned out. They don't know how to act naturally anymore. All right, let me show you this one. This is from townhall.com. Actually, did I not get that? Townhall.com is next. Yeah, okay, got it. So here is who Kamala considers to be the next generation, and she's very thankful for the next generation of Democratic Party leadership. Play for me.
Including congressional leaders like Cory Booker, Chris Van Hollen, Chris Murphy, Jasmine Crockett, Maxwell Frost, AOC, and Bernie Sanders.
And every single one of those people is completely and totally useless and have ushered us into $37 trillion of debt. I could attack each one, but I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. But anyway, I have to show you this. So this is an actual account on Twitter called Protect Kamala Harris. They actually put this out as a positive. For real, Aaron. For real, Will. For real, everybody watching. They're saying, you know what? Don't you wish you had this? That's what they're saying. Because this is what they wrote. America, you could have had so much more. This is serious. This is not a parody account. This is serious. They believe this makes her look good. They believe this will make us long for the days of the presidency of Kamala Harris. This is what they put out. Play for me.
All right, sweat. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Now cross. All right.
My only good laugh of the day, and I can't say it. I can't say it. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself, was a comment that somebody made on that. And that is a very gay man right there, by the way, if you watch it. Very gay. And somebody asked, like, what when you look at that, what do you think of? And the guy said, 2 bleep suckers. I'll leave it at that. Because we know how Kamala got her job. Under the desk of Fast Willie Brown.
Willie.
That's how Kamala got all of her promotions. But anyway, imagine thinking that's what America needs. Somebody doing a choreographed dance. That's what we need. Can you imagine her on the world stage? Can you imagine what we, if she was president right now, Can you imagine there'd be no waste, fraud, and abuse cuts? All these NGOs, not only the current NGOs, we'd be $37 trillion in debt, screaming towards 38, and they'd be forming more NGOs putting us in debt. That's what would be happening. I mean, and again, that's just one little tributary to the cataclysmic river that would be Kamala Harris. I'm just saying, that's what would be happening right now. No Doge, no cuts, nothing. Speaking of cuts, Wall Street Apes video. California received notice from the federal government that its America Core grant programs were terminated. Okay, Will and Aaron, how has America Core affected your life?
Not at all.
Okay, have you ever even heard of them?
Nope.
Okay, I've heard of them, but that's because I'm a loser. But the thing is, I just heard of them. I have no idea what they do. I have the definition for it. But that has now been cut. Imagine having Dancing Kamala. American Core would be fully funded, USAID, National Endowment for Democracy, the Brookings Institute, the Atlantic, Wall Street, the New York Times would be fully funded, Politico would be fully funded, Reuters, all those places we were sending money to, millions of dollars, prophylactics all over the world we're paying for, circumcisions in Mozambique. All of that would be fully funded by Dancing Kamala, and somebody actually believes that having Kamala as president would be beneficial because she can do a choreographed dance with a gay man. All right, so Wall Street Apes video. California received notice from the federal government that its AmeriCorps grant programs were terminated. Play for me.
So AmeriCorps was killed in California. That's $51 million that's been taken out of the economy, $20 million in the Los Angeles economy. That's almost 4,000 jobs that have been canceled. Let's go.
Yeah, he's happy about it. So am I. He's solemn, but he's very happy. 4,000 jobs cut right now. What did AmeriCorps ever do for anybody? I mean, this is what's going on. Donald Trump is cutting jobs of people who don't even show up to work ever. I mean, if we actually were able to access the jobs that are being cut from the federal government, you're talking about jobs that don't even exist. I mean, what I mean by that is the person, there's a job that's just been listed on a data sheet. And nobody has ever done it. They've just been given away to a friend of a friend who's somehow politically advantageous to the person that's given them the job. That's it. That's what's actually happening. I mean, all of those jobs terminated in a second. Here's AmeriCorps. This is what it is. AmeriCorps, it's a government agency. AmeriCorps is an independent agency of the United States government that engages more than 5 million Americans in service. You ever known one person serving in AmeriCorps? Does it really exist? I mean, we have to ask that now with everything, don't we? Every last thing you've ever thought was true is probably not true. Winston Churchill, hero of World War II. No, he actually caused World War II. FDR, hero of World War II. I know a lot of you already know this already. They knew days in advance that Pearl Harbor was going to happen, did nothing to stop it. Why is that? Gulf of Tonkin, Vietnam War. My dad, 2 Purple Hearts in Vietnam, Bronze Star, and Purple. Never was supposed to happen. They stirred that up on purpose. Israel bombing the U.S. Liberty. It's all lies. The belief in white hat versus black hat, just let it go and find out what's actually true. And then we'll form white hats and black hats again. But AmeriCorps is an independent agency of the United States government that engages more than 5 million Americans in service that you've never seen before. 5 million Americans are serving in an institution that you've never heard of and you've never seen their service. Through a variety of stipend volunteer work programs in many sectors. What sector? I've never seen one. I'm 56 years old. I worked in public service basically my entire adult life, 1992 to 2017 as deputy sheriff. I never ran into anybody working in AmeriCorps. Not one time. Ever. Have you? So are they really there? Are there really these 5 million people? Or is it just another government agency and it's funded by, I think, $59 million, I believe, of what the cuts were to it? Or is it just another government agency fully staffed by Democrats to give money away? So again, this is the example that I always use. So they're given $59 million and instead, and they're supposed to give most of it away. So let's just say they're supposed to give away out of the 59, they're supposed to give away 50 million of it, and then it costs them 9 million to give away 50 million. No, it's exactly the opposite. What they do is they pay themselves 59 million $500,000 to give away $500,000. That's what this entire world's about. I'm telling you, it really, life really is simple. That's what this entire world is about. People ripping us off. That's what this entire country is about. All right, Nick Shorter video. Elon Musk just broke out laughing. This is more on Doge cuts. When the labor secretary announced she cut up to $250 million. Get this, Aaron and Will. Here's another fun one I need to add to my Doge list. For transparency for Uzbekistan cotton industry. Can anybody even explain what that means? What does transparency for the Uzbekistan cotton industry even freaking mean? Does anybody even know what that even means? Well, just don't worry, because $250 million, you were paying $250 million per year for transparency for the Uzbekistan cotton industry, but it's now been cut. Play for me.
We saved $250 million by canceling America Last, is what I call it, foreign handouts, including funding for things like transparency and accountability for Uzbekistan cotton industry. It doesn't make sense that we're funding, you know, these foreign, and thank you to Doge and to the government efficiency of what we have found with the fraud that we're seeing.
I mean, some of these things are so ridiculous, you can't believe it.
No, I write them down and I read them more than once.
Cotton like this palms?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It sounds like a comedy sketch.
That's right. And so again, with...
Yeah, I mean, Elon says it sounds just like a comedy sketch. Uzbekistan cotton industry? Transparency for the Uzbekistan cotton industry. We are spending $250 million a year on that. Again, what is that really? What is that really? Do you really think that any of that was spent on transparency for the Uzbekistan cotton industry? No. It went to an NGO who was given the $250 million, and they paid themselves $250,490,000, and they gave $10,000 to the Uzbekistan cotton industry. That's what they did. That's what's been, all of our tax dollars has gone to enrich Democrats. That's it. Has it benefited you? Have you ever noticed it ever benefiting you? It really is that simple. I mean, I could go over and over and over again, but you've already heard me say it ad nauseum. That's really what this whole, we're $37 trillion, not because of the Iraqi war. That certainly didn't help and was stupid and never should have been involved in it. And our $200 billion that we've given, but $200 billion out of $37 trillion that we've given to Ukraine. Listen. That's all bad and never should happen. But really what it is the $37 trillion goes to these things like the Green New Deal, the Inflation Reduction Act, that forms these NGOs that are, of course, unbiased and apolitical and neutral in all ways, but are all fully staffed by Democrats. They pay themselves multi-million dollar salaries to issue opinions. And to control speech and to issue opinions about speech and to write articles. And again, it's almost like the Clinton Foundation giving $36 million. Of the $36 million, they gave away $5 million and they paid themselves $29 million to give away $5 million. I mean, they paid themselves $31 million to give away $5 million. That's exactly what happened. That's what this whole world's about. That's it. I mean, you look at the Clintons in Haiti. All this money raised, not one of it went to Haitians. And when you do actually trace these dollars, millions of dollars are supposed to build, 1,000 houses. And that's very simplistic because usually it's tens of thousands of houses. And four were built. We saw it here. We've given you the examples. $8 billion allocated to build electric car charging stations, $8 billion. They're supposed to build 500,000 of them, and they built 7. And then you had the, I can't remember what the number was, 50, 60 billion, whatever, 40 billion. I think it was 40 billion. 40 billion allocated for rural internet hookups. In other words, you can just simply buy Starlink for everybody. But anyway, how many people were actually hooked up? None. So where did all that money go? Democrats paid themselves. It's just like Stacey Abrams received $2 billion. So she went around the houses, paid herself a multi-million dollar salary, and then went around the houses telling people what refrigerators to buy. And she did that like 7 times. So she got $2 billion. John Podesta allegedly got $20 billion right before Trump left office. Pizza man. That's wondering where all our money is? It's our money. It's being printed, and it's... Each American has, I don't know, I can't remember what the status, over $100,000 worth of debt to each American. There we go, right there. And it hasn't slowed enough. And by the way, our latest omnibus package passed by Mike Johnson, even approved by Donald Trump, kept right up with the Biden levels of spending. It needs to stop. That's where you actually need to. Rand Paul is wrong on tariffs, right on overspending. But anyway, let's go to the next one. And wokeness video breaking. Trump releases suspect judge, not Trump. Judge releases suspected Tesla firebomber, citing ADHD for the reason. Play for me.
Bria and John, the government wanted Owen McIntyre to spend the time before trial behind bars, but the judge in Boston sided with the defense in this case, which cited multiple medical issues facing the 19-year-old, including autism spectrum disorder, gender dysphoria, and ADHD. McIntyre's attorney argued the teen should be released, citing serious and ongoing medical needs and treatments that could not or would not be provided while in federal detention. The defense filing says McIntyre is being treated for depression and since March has been receiving gender-affirming care. That care would likely be interrupted or terminated in federal custody.
So there you go. And again, there's supposed to be this. It's just so nonsensical. It's hard to talk about, but I just have to. We're always accused of perpetrating a trans genocide. That's what we're always told. If we don't give trans affirming care, then we are committing a trans genocide because they're all kill themselves. But the statistical data behind that is they're way more likely to commit suicide post-trans surgery than pre-trans surgery. But you and I are accused of trans genocide if we don't enable them to have surgery that makes it more likely for them to commit suicide. Well, yet here we are again. She's trying to be a she. And now, oh yeah, because I read in the documents that they're now calling him a her. Of course, you know, because everyone just has to bend the knee. Nobody wants to be offensive. I would just call him a him to his face. I love that congressional hearing when that was actually done to the male, who fully penis male, pretending to be a female on congressional on Capitol Hill. But anyway, Tim, whatever his name, I can't remember his last name. But anyway, he gets released because he can't receive his gender affirming care. He has autism, which he doesn't. That's a false claim. And his ADHD. He firebombed a freaking car, and they're releasing him from custody because of ADHD and the lack of gender affirming care. So you're allowing this guy to be released out into the public, who has firebombed a vehicle, who is on serious psychotropic drugs for his gender affirming care and ADHD. That's what we're going to do. That's a brilliant move by this judge, isn't it? All right, let's go to this next one. Julie Kelly video. This one here is funny, and you have to watch it and we'll have to talk about it. But anyway, Julie Kelly, this is funny. I didn't see temporary assistant U.S. attorney Sarah Levine, this is her right here, cry when I watched her prosecute one of the last JSIC trials of the week before Christmas 2024. Play for me.
And so I thought it was possible I could continue to serve that office. I was wrong. After 3 weeks of training and getting prepared for the next week, that Friday I left work. I walked to the metro station. I got on the train and I pulled out my phone and I saw a litigation hold that had been put on it. And attached to that was a memo that gave Mr. Martin permission to fire probationary employees from the Capitol Seed section that were moved to other places in the office. The memo referenced people but didn't have a list of names attached. But the information provided was confusing. I knew I was probably on the list, but I didn't know exactly what was going on. I headed back to the office so I could figure out what was happening. I was met by my colleagues, who shared their confusion and a heartbreak over this sudden event. We left the office, and 2 hours later, the letters started rolling in, terminating us. At the end of the night, 15 U.S. attorneys, assistant U.S. attorneys, had been fired. The termination letter I received stated the decision was based on your actions in the prosecution of persons relating to the events that occurred at or near the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. An executive order issued on January 20th, 2025, the president characterized that work as having involved a grave national injustice that has perpetrated upon the American people over the last 4 years. It went on to say that my hiring has hindered the ability of the acting U.S. Attorney Martin to staff his office in furtherance of his obligation to faithfully implement the agenda that the American people elected President Trump to execute.
So there you go. I could let it go on a little bit longer. But anyway, so my deal is with this lady. So here she is crying because she was fired. She didn't give a crap about people. I'm just going to think of as many examples as I can. She didn't give a crap about J6ers who are not allowed to have exculpatory evidence that would prove their innocence. That's what exculpatory means. Exculpatory evidence given to their attorneys. In other words, video footage that had to stay classified for national security reasons that shows that they were completely and totally innocent. She knows that that's what happened. She knows that they were given sentence enhancements based on lies by Fanone, by Gunnell, by Dunn, by the rest of those J6 cop freaking liars who said they were injured and they weren't. Nobody's released their body cam footage. And the footage that we have shows that Gunnell was never injured. Fanone was never injured. Dunn was never injured. Dunn's entire portrayal of what happened was a bold-faced lie completely exposed by the Blaze, frame by frame. She knows that people were sent to prison for 5 years who should have gotten a 5-day notice to appear and a $100 fine. She didn't care about people being sent to prison for years who never even should have got a day in jail. And remember, jail is less than 100 days. You know, I mean, less than a year, 364 days. They were sent to prison for years on sentence enhancements for seditious conspiracy and whatever else. She knows they did. There was no seditious conspiracy. She was glad to send people to prison for years and then cries like a baby when she gets, I mean, to prison for years based on fraudulent trials. And this is absolute fact, folks, because you're really going to get a fair trial in front of the, by the way, one of the J6 judges was Bosberg. Shutkin, you're going to get a fair trial. She knows they weren't getting fair trials. What was she trained in? How not to get fair trials? How to deny evidence? How to deny discovery? She knows she was denying people rightful discovery. She knows she was. She knows that she sent people or was a part of sending people to prison who never should have been in prison. She knows that and yet cries that she's losing her job. This is the cognitive dissonance that I was talking about with the baby criers, the people with their babies in church. Cognitive dissonance. You are perfectly happy and sleep like a baby at night. Sending people to prison for fraudulent, trumped up, enhanced charges. You are happy. You're perfectly happy to destroy people's lives. Julie Kelly, when Biden DOJ forced a single mom charged with 4 misdemeanors who was inside the Capitol for 9 minutes, engaged in no violence, to stand trial before Jeb Bosberg, who refused to delay the trial despite Trump's pledge to pardon J6ers like Levine's target. I didn't see temporary assistant attorney general attorney Sarah Levine cry when I watched her prosecute one of the last J6 trials the week before Christmas 2024. This is your typical crybaby J6 prosecutor. Never cared about Americans being destroyed or losing their livelihoods over exercising their First Amendment rights, but sheds tears for herself when the tables are turned. By the way, she, along with several other lawyers, were hired by the Biden DOJ as temps to handle the massive J6 caseload that never should have been tried. Their service ended after the president was inaugurated. She had no right to a job. She had no right to the job she's bawling over. All right, 10:22. That's good. Gosh, I have so much more. But anyway, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad, $50. Order in the court, $10. Conservative SWL, Southwest Florida, I'm assuming, $10. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you all.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.